From Hollywood, welcome to Starlight Mystery Theater and another episode in the series, Matthew Slade, Private Investigator. We invite you to take your seat as Matthew Slade unfolds Pattern for a Frame.
In my job, the hours are odd. So are the circumstances and the people I meet. You could even call some of them dangerous. My calling card reads, Matthew Slade, Private Investigator.
I was in my office sipping a freshly brewed cup of coffee, thinking about my car being serviced at Max's garage. I hoped he'd have it ready for me tonight. Yes, Jonesy?
Called and said your car would be ready by 5. And, Matt, there's a Mr. Venise here to see you. There are 2 gentlemen with him.
Venise? He's the last person I want to see. All right, send him in.
Mr. Slade?
Yeah, come in. But tell your 2 associates to wait outside.
Wait for me.
Okay. Now, what's on your mind?
Congressman Wakefield and your association with him.
I don't discuss a client's business with outsiders.
I don't consider myself an outsider. I'm well aware of the congressman's crusading instincts and what he's attempting to do. He's made some strong accusations which have been quite embarrassing to me. After all, I do have a position to maintain in this community.
Look, let's not play games, Venise. I'm well aware of your background.
I'm a respected businessman.
That's the image you've carefully built. But underneath that facade, there's something quite different.
I've been a patient up to now. But I want you to know, and you can tell the congressman, that if these accusations continue, I'll slap a slander suit against him and anyone else who takes his position.
Look, why do you come to me? Why did you tell this to Wakefield?
My attorneys have been in contact with him, but he's a very stubborn man, as well as being a foolish. I thought you might be more sensible.
Mm-hmm. You want me to pull the congressman off your back, right?
Exactly.
You're wasting your time.
Then you intend to continue your course of action?
That's right.
It could prove to be a very disastrous mistake.
Another threat? Maybe something stronger than just a slander suit?
You're no child playing adult games, Mr. Slade. I'm sure you know what's at stake.
Yeah. Enough to make me curious to know all there is to know.
That's extremely distressing. I was counting on a more receptive attitude.
Sorry to disappoint you. Now, if you'll excuse me.
I can assure you, this is not the end.
Mm-hmm. Well, as they say, see you in court.
That could be a very prophetic statement, Mr. Slade. Remember, you've been warned.
Frank Venise, the man responsible for most of the gambling, narcotics, and prostitution in the city. He was running scared. I left the office at 5:30, walked to Max's garage, picked up my car, and drove home. I was finishing a very nice, tender, barbecued steak when... Hello?
I have some very interesting information for you about Frank Venise.
Who is this?
The name is not important. What I have to tell you is, it may be all you need to expose him. I have to see you. Tonight. My life is in great danger.
And you come here?
Meet me at 472 Quincy Street, apartment 25.
What time?
8:30. And tell no one, or the information I have may die with me.
472 Quincy Street was in a deserted section of town, the slum area, where apartments were being torn down in a redevelopment program. There were no lights, no one around. I climbed a broken staircase to apartment 25. Cautiously pushed the door open with my foot, then entered the darkened room. Hello? Hello? Anyone here? There was no answer. Only the stillness. The stillness which was broken by what sounded like heavy breathing. Who's there? When I regained consciousness, I found myself bound tightly. It took nearly an hour before I managed to free myself. It was shortly after 10 when I arrived back at my apartment. I showered, changed clothes, and relaxed with a good stiff drink, and tried reasoning out what had gone before. Naturally, Frank Venise was my first candidate. It had to be one of his muscle men who worked me over, and he had evidently gotten to that mysterious caller before me. What I couldn't figure out was why had I been tied up? Didn't seem to serve any purpose. My contemplation was interrupted by the doorbell.
Oh, well, if it isn't Sergeant Dinelli and the intrepid Lieutenant Flagg.
I'd like a word with you, Slade.
Of course. Come on in. Sit down over there.
Thanks.
You're looking rather glum, Sid. What's wrong?
You mind if we ask the question?
Look, what is this? You come in here for a friendly visit, and right away you have to start acting tough.
This isn't a friendly visit. It's business. Police business.
You two sound serious.
Murder is serious.
Murder? What murder?
Congressman Wakefield was found tonight with two bullets in him.
What? He was shot to death just a few hours ago, Matt.
You've been in all night, Slade?
No, I haven't. Well, what's that got to do with anything?
Now, play it straight, Matt. Take a friend's advice.
You trying to say I know something about this?
You trying to say you don't?
Yes, I am. And I get the feeling you don't believe me.
We'll decide that later. What time did you go out tonight?
It was about 7:45.
And where did you go?
You see, I received a phone call about 7:30. The caller asked me to meet her in an apartment on Quincy Street. When I got there, the place was deserted, or so I thought. Then someone jumped me. When I came to, I was tied up. Took me about an hour to get free, and then I came back here. That was about 10:30.
Take a look at this gun, Matt. Can you identify it?
Yeah. It's the one I keep in my office. How'd you get a hold of it?
We found it in Wakefield's driveway. That's the gun that was used on him. We already checked it. The only prints we found on it were yours.
So you think I killed him?
It looks that way.
Now it's all very clear. The call, being blackjacked and tied up. I wasn't supposed to be able to account for my time tonight. Look, isn't it obvious to you two I'm being set up for a frame?
You surprised me, Slade. I figured you'd have come up with a better story than that.
Well, it may sound contrived, but it happens to be true.
I'd like to believe that.
You two really think I killed Wakefield, don't you? Look, I was working with him. You both know we've been after Frank Venise. Why would I want to kill him?
We've got that, too. Enlighten your friend, Sergeant.
We've got an eyewitness. She swears she saw you shoot him.
Well, whoever she is, she's lying.
She claims to be Wakefield's girlfriend. Said you and she were together tonight. That Wakefield came in unexpectedly. There was a fight, and you shot him.
Oh, come on, Sid.
There's the gun, Slade, and the fact that you can't satisfactorily account for your time between the hours of 8 and 10. That's when the coroner established time of death. You want to tell us the truth now?
You've already heard it.
Okay. Get your coat. We're booking you for murder.
It was a short drive to police headquarters. They put me through the routine booking procedures, something I'd witnessed dozens of times but never expected to be a part of. I was taken to a cell where I waited for my attorney, Dan Brody.
Matt, I can't believe this.
Well, you're not the only one, Dan. Thanks for coming.
Flagg has really gone overboard this time.
It's not just Flagg. The evidence is rather overwhelming.
Yes, and it reached a high heaven of frame-up.
Well, with the facts they've got, the truth spells me out as the murderer.
Then we'll have to start building the kind of case that'll blast a big hole in their facts.
All right. Where do we start?
At your office tomorrow morning. There might be some clue as to how they got hold of your gun. Oh, Matt, cheer up. By the time I'm finished, the DA's office will have to drop this case.
Yeah.
Morning, Miss Jones.
Mr. Brody, I've been expecting you.
Did you find anything yet?
Nothing. There doesn't seem to be any indication that the office was broken into last night.
Are you positive?
Maybe you should look, too. I may have overlooked something.
All right, let's start with this door. It's the only one leading into the hall, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't look as though this lock has been tampered with. Where did Matt keep his gun?
In his desk drawer.
Mm-hmm. A lock?
No, but his office door is always kept locked after he leaves.
I see. Were you able to talk to the night janitor?
Yes. Lucas said he led a strange man out of the building just before 7. His description matched one of the men who was here with Frank Venise. That should be a big help.
Maybe. But the fact that he was seen in the building isn't enough. We have to prove he entered this office. And a lot depends on how closely we can tie Venise into all this.
How bad does it look for Matt?
Well, what evidence the police have is fairly conclusive. Maybe it's too conclusive.
What do you mean by that?
Well, it's all so perfect, so clear-cut. It makes Matt look too obvious. I think Venise tried to play too pat a hand. It may work in our favor.
Then what will you do?
I'm not sure just yet. I have a meeting in an hour with the assistant DA, Austin Brigg. Maybe something will come out of that. The only thing I am sure of is that Matt is not going to be convicted of murder. I'm going to find some way to get the truth.
Come in, Dan.
Morning, Austin.
You know Lieutenant Flagg, Sergeant Dinelli?
Of course, gentlemen.
Ready?
Sit down, Dan.
Thank you.
Cigar?
No, thank you. Seem to be in a very obliging spirit this morning, Austin.
Well, I'm open to anything you care to discuss, but I should warn you, I'm not in a deal-making mood.
But I'll offer you a chance to save yourself considerable embarrassment in court.
Just how do you think I'll be embarrassed?
trying for a conviction against my client.
Oh, you're very funny, Dan.
You think so?
Why don't you save everyone a lot of time and bother by pleading guilty? If you do, I won't push for the gas chamber.
Now you're being funny.
There's no question of Slade's guilt.
Not even a reasonable doubt, Lieutenant.
Not as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, well, then I suppose I'll give all of you a good laugh when I say Matthew Slade is being framed by Frank the Neath.
That was his story. It doesn't sound any more convincing coming from you.
Lieutenant Flagg supplied me with an excellent case, Dan.
Oh, come now. Orson, give credit where credit is due. The Neath is the one you have to thank for that.
If you can prove that, fine. I have nothing against Slade personally. I merely act on the evidence given me.
I dare say, Lieutenant, that you aren't quite as neutral as Austin here.
If you mean I'm not going to lose any sleep over Slade's predicament, you're right. He's a gun-happy, skirt-happy gumshoe who was bound to get into real trouble someday.
Barney, I've told you. You've got the wrong idea about Matt.
Look, Sergeant, I can't tell you who to pick for friends. No. Just don't presume to tell me I'm wrong about
Slade. That's about an argument over, shall we, gentlemen?
I'm going to use all of this in court, Austin. Don't think for one minute I won't.
Use what?
Your arresting officer here is obviously prejudiced against my client.
You're accusing me of rigging the evidence.
Oh, did you, Lieutenant?
Were you...
Barney, take it easy. Look, Counselor, the Lieutenant has a bug about private detectives.
It's not necessary to make excuses for me.
Okay, that's enough. Did you come in here for the purpose of stirring up something, Dan?
My only purpose in coming here was to tell you you're making a big mistake, Austin.
Really? Let's find that out in court.
Order in the court. Proceed, Mr. Briggs.
Now then, Lieutenant, tell the court what you found when you arrived at the decedent's house.
He was lying by the bedroom door with two bullet holes in his chest. He was holding the poker from the fireplace in his right hand.
Miss York, you saw the man who shot and killed Congressman Wakefield?
Yes, I did.
Do you see that man in this courtroom?
That's him, over there.
Let it be recorded that the witness indicated the defendant Matthew Slade. Now, Miss York, tell the court what your relationship was to the decedent.
We were friends.
I mean more specifically. You were more than just friends, isn't that true?
We were...
Lovers, Miss York?
Yes.
Now then, on the night in question, what transpired?
Mr. Slade and I were together that night at Clark's home.
I see. Please go on.
He came in and found us together.
And what was his reaction?
I'm sure he wouldn't have lost his temper if Mr. Slade hadn't baited him.
What do you mean, baited?
He laughed at Clark. Said he wasn't capable of keeping a woman.
Now, Miss York, please tell the court what happened after that.
Clark moved to the fireplace. Picked up the poker.
Did he make any move to strike the defendant?
No. He made a verbal threat. That's when Mr. Slade shot him.
And what did you do?
I was frightened. I thought he might shoot me, and then he ran from the room. That's when I phoned the police.
Thank you, Miss York.
Is there any redirect?
Yes, Your Honor. Miss York, did you phone the defendant that night and ask him to meet you?
Yes.
And isn't it true that you asked him to meet you in a deserted apartment on Quincy Street and not at the home of Congressman Wakefield?
No, that's not true.
Need I remind you that you're under oath, Miss York?
I'm well aware of that.
Well, I'm sure an attractive girl like you would find it rather stifling to have to spend time in prison on a perjury charge.
Objection and badgering the witness, Your Honor.
Sustained. You're a little out of line, Mr. Brody. Please confine your questions to testimony given in direct.
Very well, Your Honor. Now, Miss York, what time did you call the defendant?
Between 7 and 7:30.
And what time did he arrive?
8 o'clock.
He drove his own car?
Yes.
You're sure of that?
Yes.
If it please the court, at this time I'd like to enter some new evidence.
Mr. Briggs,
the state has no objection, Your Honor.
Now I have here, sir, two reports. One shows that on the day of the Wakefield murder, my client's car was lubricated by Max's garage. Now, the mileage was recorded and indicates that at the time, there were 12,562 miles on the speedometer. I also have a report here, verified by the police, that the day after my client was taken into custody, his car speedometer indicated 12,581 miles, a difference of only 19 miles. Now, on the day of the murder, my client drove from Max's garage to his apartment, then to 472 Quincy Street, and then back again to his apartment, a distance of exactly 19 miles. If, on the other hand, my client had driven to Congressman Wakefield's home, as Miss York has testified, he would have had to travel an additional 8 miles. Therefore, I submit, Miss York has perjured herself.
Order in the court.
The state must oppose the introduction of this so-called evidence. Without meaning to demean the defense counsel, it is obvious that such evidence is inadmissible. Anyone who knows even the slightest about cars knows how easy it is to turn back a speedometer.
I take offense at that remark, Austin. You're saying I'm attempting to submit false evidence.
No, Dan, I'm only suggesting its validity is questionable.
Gentlemen, please, I'll have to take this evidence into consideration.
Now I see it's approaching 12 o'clock. We'll adjourn for lunch. I caution the jury not to discuss this case or draw any conclusion until all the evidence is in. Court will reconvene at 1:30.
On that morning, Miss Jones, you stated that the defendant had a visitor.
Yes, actually three men came in.
Who were they?
Mr. Frank Venice and two of his associates. I don't know their names.
Why did Mr. Venese come to see Mr. Slade?
He knew that Mr. Slade was working with Congressman Wakefield on compiling evidence that would link him with a crime syndicate. He tried to persuade Mr. Slade to call off their investigation.
Did he make any threats?
Nothing overt. Mr. Slade said that he was being persecuted, and if they continued, it could prove disastrous. He didn't elaborate.
I see. And then he left?
Yes.
Now, Miss Jones, the next day after the defendant was arrested, he received a call from a Mr. Max Cutler.
That's right.
What was the nature of that call?
Well, Max runs the garage where Mr. Slade has his car service. When he read about Mr. Slade's arrest, he called to tell me that he had noticed a man leaving Mr. Slade's car late the previous afternoon. His description matched that of one of the two men who accompanied Mr. Venice to the office.
Now, how could he have known the defendant's car was at Max's garage?
Well, Mr. Slade asked me to call Max's garage to find out when his car would be ready. I was asking him the information when the three men entered. They overheard the conversation.
What do you suppose one of these men was doing at the defendant's car?
He must have taken an impression of the office key.
Objection, Your Honor. The witness is drawing a conclusion.
Objection sustained. Strike that from the record. The jury will disregard it. Proceed, Mr. Brody.
Yes, Your Honor. Now, Miss Jones, tell the court what you learned from Lucas Haynes, the night janitor of your office building.
Lucas led a strange man out of the building after it was closed, sometime before 7 o'clock.
The same man seen by Max Cutler at his garage?
Yes.
And the same man who came to your office with Frank Venese?
Yes.
Thank you, Miss Jones. The state may cross-examine.
Miss Jones, you're employed by the defendant, Matthew Slade.
Yes.
For how long?
Over 4 years.
And for those 4 years, you've been a loyal employee?
Oh, yes.
And these gentlemen, Max Cutler and Lucas Haynes, I would guess they are friendly with the defendant?
Yes.
And what about you? Are they fond of you?
I think so.
Then would you mind telling me this story you just told? Was it your idea, the defendant, or the defense counselor?
Objection, Your Honor.
No further questions.
Order in the court. I won't tolerate this sort of outbreak.
Your Honor, the prosecution is attempting to belittle the witness.
I'm well aware of what the prosecution is attempting to do. I must caution both counselors to try and remember their courtroom etiquette. Now you may call your next witness, Mr. Brody.
Yes, Your Honor. I call to the stand Frank Venese.
Everything Miss Jones said is untrue.
Is it, Mr. Venese?
Yes. Oh, it's true. I paid a call on Mr. Slade that morning, but not for the purpose she stated. I wanted to retain Mr. Slade's service.
Why would a prominent man about town like yourself want to hire a private detective?
Well, I do have enemies, Counselor. A man in my position will occasionally step on a few toes, however unintentional. Of late, my family and I have been plagued by anonymous phone calls threatening harm.
Really? Now, why would anyone want to do that to a first-class citizen in his family?
As I said, I do have enemies. As to who made the calls, well, that's the reason I wanted to hire Mr. Slade. To find out. The only reason I paid him that visit.
And what about this associate of yours who was seen by Max Cutler and Lucas Haynes?
I think the assistant district attorney has summed that up very neatly already. Besides, I have no associate or knowledge of anyone fitting the description he gave.
Now, tell the court, are you acquainted with Rito York?
No, I am not.
Come now, sir, isn't she on your payroll?
Of course not. You make many accusations, Mr. Brody. I trust you're ready to back them up.
The witness will refrain from addressing the defense counsel in that manner.
Must I sit here and allow him
to... I'll handle the discipline in this courtroom, Mr. Venese. Now then, Mr. Brody, do you intend following this line of interrogation?
No, Your Honor, I'm through with this witness.
Do you care to cross-examine, Mr. Briggs?
No questions, Your Honor.
And does this conclude your case, Mr. Brody?
No, Your Honor. But first, I'd like to request a 30-minute recess so I might discuss a vital point with my client.
Very well. We could use a cooling-off period. Court is adjourned for 30 minutes.
Sit down, Max. Where's Jonesy off to, Dan? I saw your witness, and she left the courtroom in a big hurry.
I'm going to try something, Max. Not strictly ethical, and it could backfire, but I think it's worth a risk.
Well, what is it?
First, take off your coat and shirt.
Do you mind explaining?
Okay. But no argument. Now, here's what I propose to do.
Are you ready to proceed, Mr. Brody?
Yes, Your Honor.
Very well. Call your witness.
Will Miss Rita York please take the stand?
Order in the court. I remind you, Miss York, you are still under oath.
Now, Miss York, I'd like to go back to something you said in your previous testimony. You stated that you and the defendant were together that night. Is that correct?
Yes.
I take it this was not the first time you both were together under such circumstances. Am I correct in assuming that?
We've spent many nights together.
Then you've had... shall we say, close relations with the defendant.
I don't know what you mean.
Oh, come now, Miss York. Surely we don't have to paint you a picture. How many nights have you spent with Mr. Slade?
Several. Oh, I can't remember exactly.
Now, come now. Think, Miss York. 3, 4.
I told you there were many.
Then if I asked you something specific about the defendant, you'd be able to tell me, now, wouldn't you?
What do you mean?
What I mean, Miss York, is, can you tell the court if the defendant has any outstanding scars, moles, birthmarks, or tattoos on his body?
I...
Come on, Miss York. Surely you would have noticed something like that. Well? Your Honor, will you please instruct the witness to answer my question?
Miss York, you must answer.
No, I noticed nothing like that.
If it please the court, I would like the defendant to remove his shirt.
Objection, Your Honor. Mr. Brody is attempting to turn these proceedings into some sort of sideshow.
I'm attempting to establish the fact that this witness has perjured herself, Your Honor. I believe it to be a vital point.
I'm going to allow a wide latitude here, Mr. Briggs, in the interest of justice. You may remove your shirt, Mr. Slate.
As the court can plainly see, the defendant's chest is tattooed with the likeness of an eagle. Your Honor, I submit that the witness, Miss Rita York, could not possibly not have known about this if she had told the truth.
What do you have to say, Miss York?
I didn't want to get involved in this. You must believe that. He forced me to.
Who is he, Miss York?
Venice, Frank Venice. He killed Wakefield.
I don't know how to thank you, Dan.
Oh, say that when you see my fee, you may feel different.
Whatever the price, it's worth it. You know, I'm very fond of my freedom.
Oh, by the way, you can wash off that indelible ink with a good, strong detergent.
Oh, I don't know. I just may keep it. How can anyone destroy such a masterpiece? You know, your forensic talents, Mr. Brody, are surpassed only by your tattooing artistry.
Please, you're the nicest thing, Mr. Detective.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.